about. I mean, the Democrat Party's just evil. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just evil, conniving, maniacal.
I truly am. Yeah. You can try to rationalize all this stuff. You can try to make sense of what they say, what they do. And I truly, truly believe I always get to the end point of this mindset of they're just evil. Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick along with my partner, Mike Sparazza. Mike, lots to get to today. I want to wrap up the podcast episode today with your visit to New Hampshire to actually see Vivek Ramaswamy live. I want to get your comments on a couple things that he was reportedly saying to lots of press that covered that, including you being there. So, but we have to start first, Mike, with one of your favorite people.
Governor. Joy Reid?
We haven't talked about Joy Reid in a while. We really ought to bring her up around the holidays, especially because she is the gift that keeps on giving. We always know that. So Governor Kathy Hochul launches an awareness effort, Mike, for New York minimum wage increases in 2024. I want to play this and let's chat about it. This is just really interesting. I like that she's taken on kind of the cadence. Oh, guess what? I don't have the clip now because my phone died. So this is what she essentially said. She said, on January 1st, we are lifting New York's minimum wage to help hardworking New Yorkers keep up with rising costs and continue supporting their families. If you are a minimum wage worker and you don't see this increase in your paycheck next year, this is where she gets threatening, Mike.
Uh-oh.
I urge you to file a wage complaint with the Department of Labor to make sure you are getting the wage increase you deserve. I think she went on to call it like wage theft if people aren't seeing the increase. So think of this, like $15 an hour across the state, except in New York City, Westchester, and Long Island, it'll be $16 an hour. I did a little research, Mike, to basically buy yourself a Big Mac Happy Meal, make you happy with the Big Mac meal. It could be anywhere from $12 to $20, Mike. $12 to $20. So now, if you want to take your beautiful wife out, double that, right? Now you're talking $24 to $40. If you have a family, I mean, you can barely afford it. So I want to talk a little bit about this. Like the idea that unskilled labor, now unskilled doesn't mean we don't like you. It just simply means you don't need advanced skills to do a job, right? It might take you less than, I don't know, it might be about 2 to 4 weeks to be trained on how to do this. And by the way, some of those jobs do include janitors, food services, even flight attendants are listed like this, Mike. What is it with the liberals? They think that they can just pour money into people's pockets and everything will just be fine.
Here's the problem, and this is what drives me nuts about it. Even when I was a kid, Mike, 15 years ago, there were jobs like the local hotel or the local fast food restaurant, the local putt-putt place. I'm just naming places I worked at. But those were jobs for high school, college kids. They were not full-time careers, right? Captain Burger Flipper, Mike, is not the full-time career. Maybe a management role at the local, you know, fast food restaurant, fine. Right. But the day-to-day flip burgers, put fries in some containers and get them out, that was never supposed to be a full-time job. It was also supposed to never be unionized, right? Like, that is not the point of those jobs. They're jobs to get experience in the workplace. They're always going to be part-time or, you know, a full-time over the summer, and you move on. That's right. The point of it. The fact that we're now trying to make it like, well, if you want to go make coffee at the local place, you should make $85,000. Okay, well, you better sell 85,000 coffees then, because if you don't, the business goes under. That's how it works. We run a business, Mike. If we paid everyone on our staff $1 million, we would go out of business. It's just how it works.
And look, if you're going to make that kind of money, you better be willing to then pay for these things that are going to cost far, far more than they need to cost. Right. I mean, you know, to your point, I mean, when you're young, you're somewhat unskilled. You haven't really learned enough. You haven't done enough. You're in unskilled jobs, which you expect to get lower pay. And honestly, what I have encountered is a lot of people who retire, they want to go into those unskilled jobs. They don't want a lot of responsibility. They want more of a routine. This is what I'm expected to do. It is basic type work. I'm going to do it well. I'm going to show up for work every day. and I'm going to make a basic lower wage because that's acceptable. They want to do it for that reason. They don't need it, though, to raise their families. And that's what these liberals think, that you're going to go get unskilled jobs. You're going to just be able to go get your houses, your mortgages. You're going to be able to drive nice cars. You're going to be able to take your families out. It's not supposed to be that way. And they what they think they're doing to help people, they're actually hurting people. Because like I said, $15 and $16 and $18 and $20 an hour jobs are going to mean $14 and $18 and $20 Big Mac meals.
And here's the worst part, Mike. The worst part is too, now what the government's doing and pushing with unions and stuff is, hey, full time should be 32 hours and you should make $80,000. Like, what?
Right.
Mike, for you and I, and we do two totally different businesses. I do insurance. You're a financial planner. You and I are here on Saturdays a lot, right? You and I are here late or in at 7 a.m. That's what it takes to get where you want to get to,
right?
That's what you've learned in the business. That's what I've learned in the business. A simple 35, 40 hour week for you and I just won't get it done, right? Simply put, it just won't get it done. And that's the thing. You can't work less and then expect more. It's not how it works. I work the hours I work, and you do too, I think, because we know that that means that we'll do better for our family, we'll do better for ourselves, and we have better opportunities in the world. That's the whole point.
Right. And if you work less, you should expect to get less and have less, right? Which is fine. If you want to live a modest lifestyle, you're going to make less by working less. But it should not be work less, make more. It cannot function that way. It is unsustainable in a well-functioning economy. Mike, taking this overseas, Hamas threatens no hostage will leave alive if demands of the resistance are not met. So, you know, is this a surprise? I mean, literally, you know, they do the ceasefire. They start trading hostage for hostage, actually one hostage for maybe three or four of Palestinian hostages. And are you surprised we got to this point? The terrorists basically got us by the you-know-whats.
No. Don't forget the Joe Biden's classic, you know, quote, don't. Mm-hmm. Don't do it, right? Not working. We're almost at like 100, I think, attacks on our military overseas right now. No, I'm not shocked. I don't think it's going to get any better. We have you probably have this on your list for today, Mike. You run the content here. But Zelensky's here, too, this week. No big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's here to get some more funds. That's good for him and Ukraine. Meanwhile, Mike, we're having record border crossings right now. We have record overdoses in this country. We have a record a lot of crime and a lot of bad things in this country. But mm-hmm. our main focus is, hey, I hope everybody else in the world's fine. That's the problem. And I only bring that up because Hamas is just another group or country. It's not a country, obviously, but another group of people, country, whatever, that's just, you know, swindling the United States of America in 2023.
And I really think Netanyahu is in a really, really bad predicament. I mean, he's been in a bad predicament since the beginning of this, since October 7th. But to say that he'd do a ceasefire in exchange for hostages, you knew that this was going to collapse at some point, because they certainly weren't going to say, great, 5 days off, here are all your hostages,
right,
and now let's get back to war. They needed the ceasefire to reestablish themselves, to basically regroup, you know, hide more people. You know, I mean, it's so frustrating to me, but it all stems back to absolutely horrific leadership in Washington, D.C., a leadership that has no regard for Americans, because here they let this thing get so out of hand in the Middle East and everywhere else in Ukraine. Russia going into Ukraine would never have happened. The Hamas terrorism activities on October 7th would have never happened were it not for Joe Biden in the White House. And here we are waiting now to see if any Americans, any more Israeli hostages will ever get out. And I'm so sad to say I don't think they will.
So here's the other problem too, Mike. You look at, you know, the ceasefire idea. I've said for a while that I didn't agree with it. Not that I'm pushing war. But when you're dealing with an evil terrorist group, this idea that like, oh, we'll play nice, or, oh, well, you know, we'll see what happens. It's just not going to work. Look at what happened to America in Iraq and Afghanistan. Like 20 years, we were there. Mm-hmm. 20 years. And again, I'm not saying go there, don't go there. I'm just making a point. These wars are not like, oh, well, we'll just go in and get done in 5 minutes. Or if we play the slow game, it'll, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, temper out. It won't, right? Like, right. This is what happens over there. It's chaos. And that's what, you know, I think normal leadership like Donald Trump knew. So he tried to keep peace over there, which he did, Mike. He actually did that.
Right.
There wasn't any war in, you know, Israel or Gaza or what. There weren't these things in the Middle East. That's what happens when you're powerful. Just like, you know, we didn't get threatened with China and Taiwan. We didn't have Russia go into Ukraine, right? These are just a few conflicts. Mm-hmm. This is just getting warmed up though, Mike, because the minute an American troop dies or the minute that we go after Iran and they get upset about whatever happens, we're playing with fire. And then we have the guy up there at the podium that literally can't walk off the stage to get back to his house, to get back to his car. He is a freaking mess. I don't know if you heard him last week with the 300 million, billion, trillion, billion, million. Oh, yeah. Like, this isn't hard, Joe. Like, what's the number, right? No, trillion, million, like, you know, but that's, I mean, imagine Vladimir Putin sitting down with that guy. He's licking his chops. He's thrilled.
It is hard for a guy that has no more mental faculties, except the ones that just sort of randomly come out, literally. Right. Like, they come and go. God knows what kind of medications this guy is on. And it is really sad. You know, the thing is, this doesn't happen overnight. It's not like you suddenly have hostages taken after a savage assault on Israelis. And then suddenly you're faced with this one moment of decision-making. No, this is like, they laid the groundwork, right? For years and years and years, Hamas laid the groundwork with the help of Iran. And then here we are with this administration that allowed it all to happen. How many billions of dollars were freed up, unfrozen for Iran? How much slack have we given them?
300 million, billion, trillion.
Right? Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah, can you write that number down?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's about 38 zeros. Yeah. I mean, the way he says it. So, all right, let's go back to one of your other favorite females. Hillary Clinton.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, deep trouble.
I know where this is going.
Dems reportedly are bringing in Hillary Clinton to help with Biden's reelection. So we get to hear her version of the cackle. You know, we hear Kamala's cackle, but Hillary Clinton just has to reinsert herself into this because otherwise, what chance does Joe Biden have?
By the way, Mike, real quick before you go, that's code for Joe's done. We need another candidate is what that's code for, just so we're on the same page.
That's right.
Hillary Clinton, I've said this for a long time. Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton were my two, I'll call them darlings, that I thought were going to be the two that maybe ran.
Right.
And the fact that I'm hearing Hillary Clinton's name in December of 2023, it's a little concerning.
This is interesting. Fox News's Charlie Hurt says, but, you know, you are in deep, deep trouble if you are picking up the bat phone and calling Hillary Clinton to come help you out. And I think it was sort of interesting that their thinking is that he needs help among women voters. If you need help among women voters and you're a Democrat and you're running against Donald Trump, you should just quit because it's over. So it is interesting that the Democrat leadership must think Hillary is a really, really solid choice to attract women voters.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, she seems to dislike everybody, right? Everybody, including women. Think of all the women that that her husband was attached to. He abused. He tried to cover up things he did with her. And Hillary Clinton would be the first to say, don't believe any of that stuff that they've said. It's all lies, right?
Don't forget, Mike, Bill Clinton did not have sexual relations with that woman.
He did not.
He did not.
He did not have sexual relations.
He certainly did not. I mean, you know, Mike, the whole Democrat Party, I was talking to we'll talk later about going to New Hampshire, but when I was with Stefan this week, this weekend, we were talking about, I mean, the Democrat Party's just evil. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just evil,
I'm
conniving,
convinced.
Maniacal.
I truly
people.
Am. Yeah. You can try to rationalize all this stuff. You can try to make sense of what they say, what they do. And I truly, truly believe, I always get to the end point of this mindset of they're just evil. Yep. Like, there's just no way to make any heads or tails or sense of it.
Yep. What kills me and pains me the most, though, Mike, is it kills, you know, the working class people of America, their policies, mm-hmm. their everything they do it's not only is it evil, but they just take advantage of people. They go after people. They expose people. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that like trying to expose Donald Trump for crimes. I mean, like, they expose America to the worst of the worst, whether it be terrorism, whether it be open borders, whether it be their pockets, you know, their wallets, like we're just exposed right now. And nobody mm-hmm. cares. Mm-hmm. Not one of them cares. They, as long as they're worth 100 million after 100 million, billion, trillion That's afterwards, right. they don't care. Right.
Schmillion.
Yeah.
I mean, totally agree. Totally agree. Here's a woman that I think a lot of women should follow and actually should speak up with, Riley Gaines, right? Yep. Former NCAA swimmer. And now I just want to read this. Female athletes took exception to a nonprofit leader's statement made during congressional testimony about Title IX. This is what this person, Fatima Goss Graves, president and CEO of the Women's Rights nonprofit National Women's Law Center. So it even has the word women in it. You'd think she's an advocate of women.
I know where this is going. Yeah.
She goes, listen, the women and girls competing in sports should, quote, learn to lose gracefully to transgender athletes competing alongside them. Yeah. Trans students, again, quote, trans students participate in sports for the same reasons as other kids. Because it is fun, because it creates belonging, community, because it teaches so much about persistence, leadership, and discipline. And last, they learn to lose gracefully, hopefully, and often win with dignity. Well, Riley Gaines said, I've lost with grace many times, but this isn't the same thing, Mike. This is not losing gracefully to someone who is 6 inches taller, maybe 30 pounds heavier, with like 1,000 times more percent of body mass and strength and muscle, right? This is gross that someone that actually is supposed to advocate for women is saying, just lose gracefully.
So there's two problems. And sorry for the cough, folks. I'm not dying of the COVIDs, I promise. I'm a healthy young boy.
He's a survivor.
I'm a healthy young boy. I have a 99.997% chance survival rate. I'm going to be there. But Mike, what bothers me about this is the losing gracefully. Let's start there. Guess what? When you compete women against women, there's one loser and one winner in every sport, right? Maybe more sometimes if it's like a track meet, there could be a lot of them. But mm-hmm. you get the point that there's only one winner. That's how sports work. If you watch the Bills on Sunday, they either win, they lose. I guess they could tie. But at the end of the day, there's winners and losers every week. And most sports, Mike, nobody goes undefeated.
Right.
Somebody loses at some point. That's how you learn how to lose gracefully. You don't learn how to lose gracefully by being taken advantage of by somebody who's a man in a woman's sport. That's not losing gracefully. No. That's cheating, actually, that's is cheating. What it's called, right?
That's exactly right.
I mean, and I use me, Mike, because it's a good example for me. I'm 6'4", 225 pounds. I'm not the strongest guy. I'm not the fastest guy, but I'm 6'4", 225 pounds. If I go play basketball with somebody, I'll use your daughter, Mike, mm-hmm. Maddie, right? She is a great athlete, but she's half my size. Like, of course I'm going to have a leg up there, right? Like, of course I would. That's just science. I don't know how else to say
it. She'll likely dunk on you. Yeah. No, I doubt it.
She would strike me out pitching to me, though. That's for sure. I would definitely not hit a ball.
She might kick you in your man parts and then drive and score on the layup. But now she's probably not dunking over you. And I bet you're winning probably 21-2 maybe in a game of you know, whatever, one-on-one.
And Mike, to point that out too, your daughter was a Division III athlete. Like, mm-hmm. she's not some person never played sports before. I wasn't a Division III athlete, right? Like,
right.
your daughter was a very good athlete, and that's the point that how different it is, right? I mean, it's just,
yeah.
And again, now put it toward, this is what bothers me about this, put it towards, you know, a Division I athlete like the what was the swimmer's name? Leah Thomas. Was yep. right a Division I athlete, mm-hmm. and then he went to be a she, and then was a Division I athlete on the women's program.
Right.
Like, that's even more ridiculous than like me competing against your daughter.
Yes, and I think again, we're not bashing women. We're saying women deserve a level playing field like men do. What was it, Mike? 15-year-old boys that beat the national women's soccer team. Right? Yeah. Wasn't it something yeah. like that? Yeah. Like they thought, oh no, you know, sure, we'll take you on. I don't know if they won by like double digits. It's just going to happen because physically and strength wise, there's such a disparity, and it's a natural disparity. It should be honored as a natural disparity, and there should be level playing fields. So level playing fields, Mike. Let's go to the Republican candidates. You had a chance to go to New Hampshire, actually rub shoulders, spent a couple minutes with Vivek Ramaswamy. And I thought one of the cool things coming out of that was really not his arrogance, but really his confidence. And he basically said, listen, I truly believe that, and I'm paraphrasing, I truly believe I might shatter expectations on the GOP side. I think that the real trouble is that he is a Trump supporter. So I think many say, why would I support Vivek Ramaswamy, a Trump supporter, when I can actually just simply support Trump?
So I think there's an interesting part of Vivek, right? I think me as a, excuse me, a Trump voter, look, I would love to have a guy like Vivek in the, you know, cabinet
in the
as
circle.
A vice president, yeah, right? Yeah. Something, right?
Yep.
I think Vivek has a really bright future. He's polished. He's not afraid of anybody. He tells it how it is. You know, he'll attack if he needs to. That's the kind of guy I want in politics, right? That's the kind of guy that I want running the GOP one day. Not right now, right? But he's getting his feet wet. He's getting used to it. He's doing rallies. I'm dying. COVID. But this is like something that's really important, I think, he's hitting the right message. It's America first. And he said that on the stage when I was there the other night. He said, look, I am an America first candidate. I'm not going to apologize for that. Right. And nobody else is saying that.
Right.
Chris Christie's, I hate MAGA. Nikki Haley's like, whatever we can do to get into a war. And Ron DeSantis just sits up there and has a shit-eating grin on his face and super awkward. Like, they're not going at Vivek's campaign. And I'm going to say this right now. If Ron DeSantis ran Vivek's campaign, Ron DeSantis is polling 20 points higher right now. Mm-hmm. But he's not. Mm-hmm. He's running the campaign of, yeah, Donald Trump is bad. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to attack this guy. That's what Ron's doing. I have the worst social media influencers. That's another thing Ron did. I think Vivek is running a great campaign. And to be honest with you, he's the future of the party, in my opinion.
He's got, I think, the combination of energy, enthusiasm, patriotism, intellect. He's articulate. He's a problem solver. And I think that's all of the traits that we all really long for. I just don't know that it's going to be his time, but I would absolutely love to see Trump win, as I know you would.
Yep.
And then bring Vivek Ramaswamy in as some kind of special consultant, bring him into his cabinet. I don't know what Vivek would think of that, but boy, would we all benefit from having a guy of his ability on our side, which actually is so interesting to say. is someone actually in public office on our side? And I think he would be. He is certainly pro-American. He has such a mastery of the topics and the history at such a young age.
Yep.
And it just goes to show you the commitment he's made. He is not packaged. He is not, you know, he is not just talking the talking points like all these others are. Like, yep. That's what I sense. I always sense that they all have something on their papers, on their notes, and they are just picking a moment that they have to get to that note, and they have to make sure they say this. And it often seems super awkward. Vivek never seems awkward to me. He's fluid. He seems super authentic.
And I think there's a difference between Vivek and Trump in that way too, Mike. I mean, Vivek is more the kill you with kindness, but also tell it how it is, where Donald Trump is, you know, I don't care. I'm just going to say it how I want to say it, right? Which is fine. Yeah. Both ways work, which is good. You know, I think it's something that we should be lucky to have a candidate like Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't think now is the time. I also don't think he'll pass up a VP spot. I just can't imagine.
I can't. Either,
I can't imagine you getting offered to be a VP at 38 years old and not thinking this is my party if Donald Trump wins and I can be the candidate in 2028. I just don't see how that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Vivek, I always think of the words logic and common sense. And I think in both cases, both Trump and Vivek Ramaswamy care about us.
Yep.
That's what I always think about both of them, and what a ticket that would be.
Yep.
Folks, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday. Remember, 3 podcasts every week, and Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning, Mike Spiraza and I, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to just talk about the 5 hot topics, 3 minutes each. You can find us everywhere, financialguysmedia.com. You can download our app. It's a super easy download and super easy. You can get the reminders when we're ready to go on the air and reminders about our podcast. And of course, we do our radio show every Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Anything else, Mike?
I think that's all I got today. I'm going to try and get rid of this cough before morning mics tomorrow, and we'll figure it out.
I think he got it in New Hampshire.
It could have.
I don't know who he was hanging with.
Yeah, I blame Stefan Mihailu, probably.
Stefan. Yeah. It's always Stefan passing those germs. He just can't get rid of those viruses.
He just can't do it.
Ay, ay, ay. Stay away from that guy.
Yep.
All right, folks. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.